The next few parakim discuss a ruvei tuchumin, which is when one wants to travel further than the tuchum Shabbos, further than 2,000 amos from the edge of his city. What can he do? Now, one is never going to be able to travel more than 4,000 amos in one particular direction outside of the city on Shabbos. All a ruvei tuchumin helps to do is that instead of having 2,000 amos to a particular direction, it gives you 4,000 amos. Now, how exactly does a ruvei tuchumin work? So the truth is that the reason why one has 2,000 amos in general from every direction from the city is because his mokim hashavisa, the place where he lives on Shabbos, is considered to be the city. And the law of Tuchum Shabbos is that he has 2,000 amos in every direction from his mokim hashavisa. Now what Erev Tuchumin does is that it says that instead of considering my mokim hashavisa to be the city itself, I'm going to consider somewhere else to be my mokim shavisa. So instead of having 2,000 amos in every direction from the city, I'm going to have it from somewhere else. So there are basically two ways to make an Erev Tuchumin. Could be you put food somewhere, or it could be you actually walk there before Shabbos. But in general, it was done with food. So let's say somebody places food at the edge of the 2,000 amos to the east of the city. And that is Erev Tuchumin. The Hizmok Mashavisa is now over there. And he has 2,000 amos in every direction from there, not from the city. So that means that on Shabbos he can travel 4,000 amos into the east of the city, because that is all within the 2,000 amos of his Erev Tuchumin. But he would not be able to travel at all to the west of the city, since that is further than 2,000 amos away from his Mokum HaShavisa, because his Mokum HaShavisa is no longer the city. So that's how Erev Tuchumin works. And there's another concept known as Shittiv Mevoyos, which is very similar to Erev Chatzeros. But instead of all the people who live in houses which join into the chotzer, instead of them joining together, Shittiv Mevoyos is when the different courtyards join together to be able to carry in the street which they share, which the courtyards open up into. And again, that's done with food. They all put food together in one place, and that shows that their living place is really one place, and they all share, to some degree, that street. So Mishnah says, "By kol ma'orven u'mishtatfin, with any type of food, one can make a ruvei tuchumin or shittiv mevoyos. If you put food there, it shows that that's considered your living place. Chutz min ha'melach, except for water or salt, this wouldn't work for an eruv since it's not considered substantial enough. It's not considered a meal, and therefore not good enough for eruv. Because the whole point of the eruv is to show that it's your living place. So you've got to put a real meal over there." Okay, now the Mishnah goes a bit sidetracked and discusses a law of Maisa Sheni. The halach is that a tenth of one's produce needs to be separated and taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten over there. Now, if somebody has lots of produce, it's very impractical to take it all up to Yerushalayim, so you can redeem it in his city, redeem it all onto money which is worth that amount of produce. Then you can take out the money to Yerushalayim and spend the money on food in Yerushalayim and eat it over there. And that food would now gain the status of Maisa Sheni produce. So the Mishnah says that once one buys the produce in Yerushalayim, what type of food can you buy? Hakol nikov b'chesa Maisa. Any type of food can be bought with Maisa Sheni money. Even though the original Maisa Sheni had to be something which grew from the ground, when it comes to buying the food in Yerushalayim, one would also be able to buy things like meat and other such food, chutz min ha'melach, except for water and salt. One cannot spend Maisa Sheni money on buying that, since one needs to buy real food, and that is not considered substantial enough. Now, what about forbidden food? On the one hand, it's considered food. On the other hand, you can't eat it, so is that considered good enough to make it your living place? So if it's food which is totally forbidden, then definitely not. But says the Mishnah, Ma'orvin al-Nozer b'yayin, a Nozer can use wine for his Erev Tuchumin, or for his Shittiv Mevoyos. Even though he can't drink the wine, it's still considered permitted food, and other people can drink the wine, and so that is considered significant enough and would help him for an Erev. As well as that, Yisrael b'truma, one can use truma for the Erev of a Yisrael, even though truma can only be eaten by Kohanim, it is still considered real food. Sumchas Omer, Sumchas argues and Sumchas says, b'chulin, one needs to use chulin for a Yisrael, which is food which anybody can eat and not just a Kohen, because for a Yisrael, truma is not considered a meal at all. So that can't be considered his living place because he put some food over there, because that food is totally forbidden for him. Now the Gemara notes that Sumchas does not argue on the case of the Nozer using wine, which implies that Sumchas does allow the Nozer to use wine, even though he does not allow the Yisrael to use Truma. And the Gemara explains that since a nozer, who is forbidden to drink wine, and he's got some other prohibitions as well, but the way one becomes a nozer is by making a vow that he will be a nozer. Now, as with all vows, once one has made the vow, one is allowed to annul the vow. As long as he goes to Talmud Chacham and does it in the correct way, he can annul the vow and he can make it permitted once again. So since for the nozer, wine is not intrinsically and totally forbidden, because he himself could technically become permitted to drink that wine, so Simchas agrees that the nozer can use wine for his Eruv. Now, as we said before, an Eruv Tuchumin defines where one Mokum HaShvisa is, where his place of living on Shabbos is. And because of that, it has to be placed in an area where he is allowed to go. So for example, a Kohen cannot get his Eruv to be placed in a graveyard, because a Kohen is forbidden to enter the graveyard. So that can't be considered his living place. However, the Mishnah says that a Kohen beveis hapras, a Kohen can get somebody to place his Eruv in a beis hapras, and that will help. A beis hapras is an area where there was a grave and it was ploughed over, or it was dug, and because of that, we're not sure where exactly the bones of the dead body are. And it could have been spread across the whole area. So it's a considered midyabonon tomei, in case there are bones around, and therefore midyabonon, a Kohen cannot enter that area. However, technically, the Kohen could still enter the area if he's very careful and he looks ahead of him for any bones. And because of that, since it's only forbidden Mijabonon to enter, and he could technically enter by making sure that he doesn't become Tomei from any bones, so his Eruv could technically be placed over there, and it would be considered his Makom HaShvisa. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Afilu Beveis HaKvareis, even in a definite graveyard, where Kohen is certainly not able to enter, if his Eruv is there, then it is okay, Mnei Sheyochel Leilech, because he can actually go into the graveyard, if Lochitz, if he makes a partition. If he doesn't just walk into the graveyard, but he goes in with something like a box around him, if, let's say, technically somebody would carry the Kohen in a box, which is surrounded on all sides, then that blocks the tumah from entering the box and entering the Kohen. And so there is a way for the Kohen to actually enter the graveyard. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is enough of a way for it to be considered his Makom HaShvisa. Since it is possible for him to go there, even if it's not practical, he is still able to go there in a box, v'le'echol, and eat what he puts there for his Eruv. And so it will help him to make that his Makom HaShvisa.